We get to finish 2 Timothy today. We've been working our way through the book of 2 Timothy, and this is the last part. And so I want to read this for you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says this. He says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." When at first you read the end of a letter like this, you kind of stand up and think, and what do you preach about? Greetings, hello. No name and other name write to you and say hello. I hope that you are well. I mean, it just sounds like a regular letter, right? And all of these people that we don't really know anything about, whose names show up once or twice in the scriptures, and here they are. But what I recognize as I'm reading through this is how many people are in here. Right? I don't know. I should have gone back and counted how many people are listed in the book of 2 Timothy, which itself is only 4 chapters long. But in these verses, from verse 9 until verse 22, there are 17 names here. 17 names of people in those 13 verses, of which Paul and Timothy are not one, right? So there are 17 people in addition to Paul and Timothy who are in here. Now, the reason that I say that is because you recognize in seeing that Paul's ministry is highly personal, right? It is involved and wrapped in and around people. It's highly, highly personal. In fact, ministry is highly personal. I've heard it said more than once amongst pastors, and maybe you've heard this said before, that ministry would be easy if it wasn't for the people. Oh yeah, how's your ministry going? Great, it'd be so easy if it wasn't for the people that I have to deal with. And in some ways it kind of strikes you as funny, right? And in other ways you kind of cringe when you hear it because you know the kind of person that he's talking about. And you also know that it would be much easier without them. But if you think about that statement for very long, ministry would be easier without the people, you realize that that sentence doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. First and foremost, because ministry is people. Right? How could you have any ministry at all if there were not people as a part of it? What would that mean? That you sat around and studied for a sermon? Yes, you're right. That would be really easy without people, wouldn't it? You just sat and studied. Toward what end? Who would you encourage with the message that you had prepared? Who would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed? Who would be edified? Who would be encouraged? Who would be challenged? who would be rebuked? What ministry would be done if there were not people to do that ministry? Right? Not only is ministry for people, it is the people who make up the ministry. Because I don't know a single pastor who says, I would love to do this all by myself. And so when they say ministry would be much easier without the people, what they mean is, what? They'd like to do it by themselves? Oh yes, sign me up to lead the worship. Sign me up to do the children's ministry. Sign me up to set up decorations. Sign me up to do all of the pastoral care, all of the teaching, all of the helping, all of the encouraging, all of the walking alongside the people who are hurting, all of the rebuking those who are in sin, all of the no thanks. I can hardly handle leading a church that is doing all of those things. Ministry would not be easier without the people. There would be no ministry without the people. Which is why this here is the gathering of the church. Right? We don't come to church as though we all come to this building and it's some great place to go. We come to the gathering of the church because the church is made up of the people of the church. It's the community of the church. And we do the things of the church together because without us as a collective, there is no church. And so when you see him writing, when you see Paul writing, what you see is this very thing. He's giving Timothy an update about what's going on with everybody that Timothy knows. Here's what's going on. Here are the people and where they're going and what they're doing and the kinds of ministry that is happening. And people that are expanding ministry. People that are leaving the ministry. People that are encouraging him. People that are discouraging him. And he's writing to Timothy and he's saying, Timothy, come soon. Come soon. I need the encouragement. I need you to come soon. He's writing this letter to Timothy and the whole letter has been, Timothy, I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you. You can do it. You can lead that church in Ephesus. Here are the things that need to happen. Here are the things that I'm hearing about what's happening there. And you really need to press in on some of these things. You can do it, Timothy. All of the stuff that I have taught you, all of the things that you have read in the scriptures, all of the things that have been taught to you by your grandmother and your mother, all of those things, hang on to them. Cling fast to them. Hold fast to the Lord and do not forsake him, Timothy. You can do it. Stand firm. Be strong in the grace of the Lord, Timothy. You can do it. And now he's saying, and then Timothy, once you get that stuff set up, please come and encourage me. Please come and encourage me. Because Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia and Luke alone is with me. These people are going to different places. They're bringing the message to different places. They're going to different churches and they're encouraging them there. And just Luke is left with me. He's the only one that's shouldering the burden with me and doing this work. And so Timothy, come quick. Please come. Please come. It's a team ministry, right? When I think of Paul, I don't know why. I think of like this superstar preacher, this superstar letter writer, and I think of Paul, right? Like Michael Jordan or something, right? Paul is the Michael Jordan of church planters. And you think of Michael Jordan just dominated and you forget that there were other guys on that team. And I do the same thing with Paul. Like, I think of Paul and the great stuff that he did and I forget that there were other guys on that team. There was Timothy and there was Titus and there was Luke and there was Barnabas and there was Silas and there was Mark and there were lots of others. And it was an awesome team. I mean, this is an all-star quality team. Of which Paul was one of them, and perhaps the most famous. but it's a team. And this is why, as New Life Church, one of our core values is team ministry. Right? Because we recognize that you can't do this by yourself. Not well. Not effectively. It's best done as a team. For a number of reasons. One, that way one person doesn't get burned out doing all the work. And two, if that person is not able to continue on, the work keeps getting done. Because there's a team that's shouldering the burden together, that's working on it together. And so we see this team here, right, in 2 Timothy. And do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, and Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Now, that's kind of a cool thing to say. Those of you who have read through Acts recently may remember Paul's opinion of Mark. Right? In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas were trying to decide where they were going to go next. And Paul said, you know what? Here's what we should do. We should go back through all of the churches that we have planted, and we should go back and encourage them all. And Barnabas went, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's bring John Mark. And Paul said, no. No, we are not bringing Mark. Barnabas goes, yeah, that's my cousin. I love Mark. We should totally bring him. He'd be great for encouraging. Barnabas himself being an encourager. Paul says, no, Mark deserted us. Mark left us. I don't want to bring Mark along. What if he deserts us again? I got to have somebody on my team that I can rely on. Barnabas goes, no, we're bringing Mark. Paul said, no, we are not bringing Mark. They had such a disagreement about it that the Paul and Barnabas, right? Paul and Barnabas was like Jordan and Pippin, right? You put those two names together, Paul and Barnabas. And they left. They broke up. And Barnabas went one way with John Mark. Paul went the other way with Silas. Because Paul was not going to go anywhere with Mark. And now, as he gets to the end of his ministry, he says, Titus has gone to Dalmatia, Crescens has gone to Galatia, they're doing great ministry things, Luke alone is with me, get Mark, and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. That's pretty cool. Way to go, Mark. He is now useful for ministry. The reason that this is encouraging to me is because you see at the beginning of verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Right? On the one hand, people have left Paul so that they can go do different types of ministry, but not Demas. Demas was in love with the world. And so he went to Thessalonica. He abandoned Paul in a similar fashion to the way that Mark had abandoned Paul earlier. But look, that wasn't a permanent thing because now Mark is very useful. We hope the same thing for Demas, right? He abandoned Paul in the midst of ministry, but it's not a permanent thing. And as you look at all of this, what you realize is why people say ministry would be easier without the people. Because look at all of the relationships that are happening here and what's happening in these relationships. People are leaving for bad reasons. People are leaving for good reasons. But people are leaving. The team is breaking up. People are moving in different directions. Some of these are very exciting things. Oh yeah, we're sending Titus off to Dalmatia. Yes, we're sending Crescens off to Galatia. They're going to go encourage the church there. But it's still hard. Because these are friends. These are people that they've done ministry alongside. They've worked together with these guys. And now they're going in a different direction. And the Demas thing has to be incredibly painful. Because here's a guy who'd been working alongside him, who has now abandoned him because of his love for the world. It seemed very similar to John Mark. And you know how Paul felt about that. He's incredibly upset. And when we get into the church, the community of God's people gathered together and doing ministry together, we have this kind of thing happen, don't we? People leave for good reasons. People leave for bad reasons. People offend you. People help you. People encourage you. And so there are pastors who go, I'm going to keep a distance. I'm going to keep a distance. I'm going to be the professional church leader. And I'm going to keep my distance. And so you can treat me as a professional counselor. And you can treat me as a professional speaker. And you can treat me as a professional, but not as a personal friend. And so I will visit you when you are sick, and I will do the things that we will do. But I am not going to get too close and let you in, because if I do that, you may hurt me. And I've seen a lot of pastors do that. Be careful about having friends in the church, they'll say. And by the same token, you see a lot of people in the church do the same thing. I'm here, I will help. I'm just here to listen to the music. I'm just here to listen to the sermons. I'm just here because once a month you have free food. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Just all of you. I'm just here because I get to whatever. I get to do the thing that I really like to do. And people appreciate it. But I don't want anybody in. I don't want to let anybody in. Look, ministry is personal. And it hurts. Because it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to. People offend, people wrong you, people leave, people abandon you. And at the same time, it's so necessary to have it done as a team. And so you engage knowing that these are the people who are going to love you through thick and thin. These are the people who are going to walk alongside you, and we are going to take that hill together, and we will get the work done, and knowing that I don't know who, but somebody's going to hurt me in a significant way. And somebody's going to walk alongside me and encourage me through something that I couldn't even imagine, that level of compassion and care. And both of those things are going to happen. Because that's what happens in the ministry of the church. And so he's crying out to Timothy, and he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Tools of ministry. Timothy, there's a couple of things that I'm going to need. In addition to your help, which, don't get me wrong, Timothy, you're the most important. You come, even if you don't bring those things. But it would also be kind of helpful, because winter's coming, if you'd bring my coat. And also the books, and above all, the parchments. If we have to do without one of the things, do without the coat, I need the parchments. I don't even know what that means. But somehow these things are very important to him and helpful for him for ministry. And then he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. You see, sometimes there is trouble in the church. Sometimes there is just trouble. And sometimes it hurts real bad. And that's what Paul is saying. Look, this guy, the coppersmith, Alexander the coppersmith, watch out for him. Because he did me a lot of harm. He opposed the message that I was preaching. He opposed the things that I was saying. He opposed the gospel. And he made this so difficult for me, Timothy. Don't worry about revenge. Don't try and get vengeance. Leave that to the Lord. The Lord will take care of that part. That's a good principle, isn't it? One that's hard for me personally. Because when I'm wrong, man, I want it paid back. Don't they know what they did? Oh, you know what you did. You owe me. What Paul is saying is don't worry about that part. Yes, it was a lot of harm. Yes, it hurt. The Lord will deal with that. He will make that right. I'm just telling you because you need to watch out for him. He's a troublemaker. He will cause problems. Watch out for him. Be aware. And he says, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged to any of them. I think this is the most difficult part in being a part of a church. Is those times when you feel like nobody was there. Nobody was there. Nobody cared. Nobody stood with you. Right when things got the most difficult, nobody was there. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The reality is this. We need in the church to be a team, right? We can't strike out and try and do ministry all by ourselves. We need the team. We need to work together. But when it comes right down to it, our trust cannot be in the team. It cannot be in the individuals. It cannot be in the people. It has to be in the Lord. Because otherwise what happens is some division arises, some problem comes up, and everybody abandons you, and you walk away. And how many people have I watched do that? That there's some sort of a skirmish, some sort of trouble that crops up in the team, and they look at the way people treat each other or don't treat one another, and they can't believe it, and so they walk away because I can't handle that. Because what they're saying in doing that is, ultimately, I was expecting fulfillment of perfection in the church, in the people of the church. The church has disappointed me, and I am walking away. And we can't. Our faith has to be in the Lord alone. It has to be. Because while the team is necessary for doing the work of ministry, what we realize is that we're all people. And we are prone to failure. Sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's unintentional. But we are prone to failure and we are prone to disappoint one another. And so what Paul is saying is, look, I've fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have done the ministry with these people. Some of them have left me. Some of them I have sent on to greater things. And at one point I was all alone. But may God have mercy on them for abandoning me, because the Lord never failed me. My faith was in him. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and the Gentiles might hear it. I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. The Lord will rescue you from every evil deed and will bring you safely into His heavenly kingdom. That is the foundation of our faith. That the Lord will walk with us, will stand with us, will keep us safe, will deliver us from every evil deed. In fact, He already has delivered us. Right? That's what we believe that Jesus did on the cross. He delivered us from our sin. He delivered us from evil deeds. And He will continue to deliver us from all of the adverse circumstances that we find ourselves in until finally the way in which He delivers us is to bring us into His heavenly kingdom. That is where our hope is. That's what we're looking to. And in the meantime, we're in this place, this intensely personal ministry place, serving together, working together to encourage the body, to expand the kingdom of God by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. We're doing that together with incredibly high expectations and hopefully incredibly high amounts of grace for one another. But always working in anticipation of how God will deliver us and bring us into His heavenly kingdom. And then Paul sends out his greetings, right? That maintaining the connection between those who are with him and those who are with Timothy. And he says, greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Oh, just so you know, Erastus remained at Corinth. And I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Poor Trophimus. I'm sure that he left Trophimus better than it sounds, right? But you just think about Paul saying, and everybody left me, and we left Trophimus because he was sick. Come on, Paul. You healed all kinds of sick people. You couldn't just heal Trophimus and bring him with you? Or at least stay and give him soup? Nope, you just left him at Miletus. Alrighty. I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. I'm not sure if he says that because the traveling conditions would be very difficult for Timothy to get to him. And if he didn't come before winter, he was going to have to wait until next spring, maybe. That's quite likely. It's also quite likely that he really wanted him to come and bring that coat. Which is better before winter rather than after. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. And what I appreciate about this is for a moment there we thought that he was completely abandoned. Right? It felt like he was completely abandoned. It felt like he was completely alone. Everybody had left. Everybody had moved on except for Luke. Only Luke was there with him. And so please, Timothy, come and encourage me. Come and bring Mark and work with me. But now we find out, no, there are actually others there too. Eubulus and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers are there. And he finishes with this. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You see, Timothy, all of the encouragements that I have given to you, all of the instructions that I have given to you, all of those things are good. Do your best in them, but the Lord be with you. May the Lord be with you. May He encourage your spirit. May He strengthen you as He has strengthened me, as He has never left me, but has always stood with me. Faithfully, may He be with you, and may grace be with you. Be strong in grace. And so my encouragement to you is to get involved in the ministry, right? To dare to be involved in the ministry, to the things that God has called us to together. Dare to be personal and to open yourself up and to engage and to love well and to be compassionate, knowing that there's a very real possibility that you get hurt. But also knowing that the Lord is with you. May the Lord be with your spirit, and may grace be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our God who strengthens us. Our God who has not left us, but is always with us. And so, Father, at those times in which we feel like we are alone, we pray that you would encourage us. We pray that we would feel your presence. And Lord, we ask that you would send us on. That you would put before us the next piece of ministry, the next work to do, the next way that we can serve and love. And we pray that you would strengthen us for that work. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team plays the next song, I would invite you. We have communion at the back table and at the front table. And so I would encourage you, if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, to, during the next song, collect the bread and the cup and bring it back to your seat. And afterwards, I will stand up again and we will take it all together in remembrance of what Jesus has done.